This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Lisa Mullins, in for Meghna Chakrabarty. Behind the looming government shutdown in Washington is the continuing resistance to the Affordable Care Act by a core group of conservative House Republicans. Now, whether or not you agree with their refusal to accept a law that was approved by their colleagues in Congress, there's one question that continues to be debated. Will Obamacare work? Can it provide access to affordable health care and bring the cost down?
Massachusetts is something of a health care policy laboratory and might be able to provide some answers to that. The federal law is modeled on this state's health care law, which was passed in 2006. And here's what we know so far. Just about everyone in the state has health insurance, but costs have continued to rise. And in fact, we're spending more per capita in health care than any other state in the nation.
And this week, a newly formed state commission is digging into why health care costs are so high and what can be done to bring them down. Under a health care cost containment law that was passed last year, medical expenses aren't supposed to grow more than the state's economy, and that's pegged at 3.6% this year.
So to talk about what the state is trying to do to rein in health care costs, we're joined by Stuart Altman. He chairs the board of the state's Health Policy Commission, which begins 2 days of hearings tomorrow. He's also an economist who teaches national health policy at Brandeis University. And Stuart Altman, thanks for coming in. Welcome back to the show.
It's always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure to have you. We're also joined by Reverend Burns Stanfield. He's president of the Greater Boston Interfaith Organization, which has become a sort of healthcare cost watchdog group in the context of this discussion. He's also pastor of the Fourth Presbyterian Church in South Boston. And Burns Stanfield, great to have you. Thanks for coming in.
Great to be here.
And listeners, we want you in on this conversation. How are healthcare costs affecting you and your family? Tell us your story. What do you think can be done to rein in rising costs? What are you seeing out there? What are your ideas? Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. Stuart Altman, I'd like to start with you. And, you know, I want to start actually with your quick thoughts on what's going on in Washington in relation to what we're talking about. I mean, what does this mean to this sort of great national experiment with healthcare reform, do you think?
Well, fortunately, the exchanges are also set to begin operation tomorrow, and they will not be affected by the government shutdown.
These are the exchanges through which ordinary Americans can buy health care.
Right.
Right.
We've been very fortunate here. We have had the experience of our connector, which works very well here. It's our form of an exchange where people can sign up and either get a subsidy if they have lower income or at least get to choose among plans based on whether their definition of price and availability of different kinds of benefits. And that's what's supposed to begin around the country tomorrow. So in the short run, I don't think the government shutdown is going to affect the bigger picture of the Affordable Care Act. I'm hopeful that at some point we will get this behind us because we got some really big, tough, complicated issues to solve. This is a very complicated piece of legislation, requires everyone to work together, and the idea that we're constantly fighting about it isn't good for it.
Well, lay out, if you would, what specifically you're going to be looking at during the next 2 days of hearings this week.
Well, when the law was passed in 2006, the state of Massachusetts basically said, we're going to deal with coverage first. We're going to make sure that everybody in the Commonwealth gets has some form of health insurance coverage. And they've worked hard to make that happen. And as a result, we have the lowest uninsured rate in the country by far before the creation and implementation of Obamacare. But then they said, look, that's stage one. Stage two is we need to get this care that's affordable. And it's affordable to people when they need the care, but it's also affordable to employers, to the state, to individuals, to the federal government. So the state of Massachusetts has been working very hard to develop plans to figure out, A, why are costs rising as fast as they are, and B, to do something about it in a way that does not negatively affect quality or access to care. And these hearings tomorrow are addressed at those issues. They are an opportunity for us to bring in outside experts to talk about this, but more importantly, to get our key people, the ones that run our health system, the ones that pay for our health system, to talk about what they're doing to keep costs under control. Hmm.
Byrne Stanfield, I want to come to you in a second. I just want to ask Stuart Altman one more question, and it's about this, that earlier this summer we had a report from the state that put into numbers what we all feel, essentially, that we're paying more and getting less. And this report showed that between 2009 and 2011, our premiums rose almost 10%, while the value of what that coverage was buying shrunk by 5%. So it seems like those two lines are going in the wrong direction. So what are the key drivers when it comes to cost of healthcare in Massachusetts? What do we have to get a grip on?
Well, it's let's face it. You know, when you talk about cost, you're talking about spending. Hmm. Let's change the term. It's spending. We spend more for healthcare in this state than practically any other part of the United States, and the United States spends far more than any other part of the world. So you might think we're the most expensive part of the world, which in some sense we are. Now, what's driving that? It's really a combination of using more services, but more importantly, the prices that are charged here are higher than they are around the country for some good reasons. We have a first-class healthcare system, and it is dominated by really first-class institutions. So we have a very high proportion of teaching hospitals in Boston. We are a leading edge in terms of research. We are the training ground for the next generation of physicians. This all costs money. So part of what's driving Massachusetts are good things, things that we want to spend money on. But then we are using care not in the most efficient way. There's duplication of services that don't need to be done. There is people that fall through the cracks. There are places we could both save money and actually improve the quality of care.
Well, let's talk about that. Let me come over to you, Byrne Stanfield. And your organization has been focused on this issue of rising healthcare costs for some time. Why is it so important to you? To your congregation, to you specifically? I mean, tell us a sort of personal story about this.
Well, along the lines of what you were just hearing from Professor Altman, our organization, GBIO, and my congregation in South Boston, Fourth Church, got involved really with the Access campaign. Hmm. So back in 2005, 2006, we got involved in our church because we literally had people in the pews who did not have access to health care. So after that wonderful success, and we've got folks now who now have coverage, indeed, we became aware, as others in the field, that there was a squeeze on access from cost. So even though it's a lot more complicated to get involved and to organize 50,000 people around, and that's how many people our congregations represent, we dug in and tried to understand how cost works, and so we've been in the middle of it in advocating and making sure there's more accountability with all involved.
So accountability, is that the key thing? I mean, what would you like to see come out of these hearings that begin tomorrow?
Well, more information, more light. We actually had our own hearing of a sort 2 weeks ago, back when this law was passed a year ago, which we celebrated. That brought on a new day with a new organization, another entity to collect data, and lots of attention. Back when that passed, our big concern was, are there enough teeth in this law? So we made the commitment a year ago to gather stakeholders, and we did that over at Temple Israel 2 weeks ago, brought in CEOs from insurers, from provider systems, brought in members of the commission that Dr. Altman is a part of, and we want to make sure everybody knows it's a new day. It's not a laissez-faire arrangement anymore. It's about accountability. We have a target. Let's hit the target.
So the target being that healthcare costs, we don't want them to rise more than the overall cost of living, which has been pegged at 3.6. And you mentioned something key, that some people are concerned that this law lacks teeth. In other words, how can we make people stick to that, respect that benchmark, right?
Indeed. And, you know, we're people of faith in GBIO. So we think, yeah, a lot of CEOs and a lot of stakeholders want to do the right thing. But we're also realists. We know what the world is, and we operate in the world as it is. So that's why we want to keep shining the light, share the stories, make sure folks are are being held accountable as best we can.
So, Stuart Burns was talking about being people of faith, but we want the law to be based more than on faith. I guess does the law have the teeth that are required?
Well, I worry about that or think about that a lot. The decision was made that when the legislature was finally making the final set of decisions on what the law would look like, there was a lot of pressure for it to become a highly regulatory agency where, you know, what we said had the force of law. But they also saw that there were a number of changes going on voluntarily on both the payer side and in the provider side that really were working. And there was some preliminary evidence that it was working well. So what they did, they put in place this commission. As the Reverend said, they also put in place a statistical system that really allows us to look at what's going on. And they gave us the ammunition to help the system work better, but not to force it. So what we have at our disposal is funding to help community hospitals and doctors redesign to do a better job. We have money to help health information systems expand. We are also becoming a certifying agency to change and improve primary care around the state. We have the ability, when any organizations decide they want to merger or in any way form, to ask them to stop for a while we analyze it to see what implication it might have for both increased spending as well as access and quality. And if we think that it's going to do detriment to that, we can pass it along to the Attorney General or to the Justice Department in Washington. So we have, yes, and I like the analogy of we're like a big searchlight on the system. To shine a light to say, hey, this is good. Hey, this is not good.
Yeah.
And we have some financial mechanisms to help improve it.
I want to follow up with you on what you said before, and this idea that among the issues we face here in Massachusetts is we get most of our care at these terrific hospitals, which, by the way, happen to be very expensive hospitals. What do we do with that information? Does that mean as consumers to try to get sort of hold of sort of crack the code on cost, as we heard the governor refer to it as? Do we need to think about getting our care for basic stuff at less expensive hospitals? Is that part of the solution here?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, it would be actually even better if you got it and not have to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
So one of the real new things, it's not new, we're redesigning something we did before. We now call them accountable care organizations, which is trying to keep care at as basic a level as appropriate given the condition of the individual. So if something could be done at a primary care level, expand primary care. If you really need to go to a specialist, go to the specialist for a limited and try to keep them there. Go to the hospital only when you need to go to the hospital. You know, hospital is very important. And try to keep them in the people in the community. But, you know, there are complicated things that need to go into the big teaching hospitals. And that's fine. And so that's what it is. Try to put the patient at the right place for the right care. And, you know, for a lot of reasons, over a long period of time, we in Massachusetts have set our system up to sort of go to fairly expensive places for fairly routine care. Now, there's some justification for that, but not at the level that we've been doing.
Well, I want to get some callers involved in this conversation. We're talking to Stuart Altman. He's the chair of the board of the Health Policy Commission in Burns Stanfield, president of the Greater Boston Interfaith Organization. And we're asking you, How we get to put the reins, I guess, on rising health care costs in the Commonwealth. Let's go to Dan Danby, who's calling from Rowley, Massachusetts. Hi, Dan, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm just calling because I was so upset when I got a bill after taking an ambulance ride because I was uninsured and I got no service on the ambulance. It was just basically a ride to the hospital, and it was a 15-minute ride, and it cost $5,000. $5,000.
Yeah.
And it makes absolutely no sense to me. I mean, if you add up all the different costs of the different, you know, you add up the truck costs, you add up the people costs, the two men that were the attending people. It just, even if you're giving them $200 for 15 minutes or a half hour of work.
It's a lot of money, Danby.
You know, it doesn't make any sense.
You put a good point on the table. Bern Stanfield, let me come to you, because I gather that these are the kind of stories that you're familiar with.
There are stories, and I certainly can't comment on the economics of how ambulances work, but I can tell you that we are aware of other stories. I'm thinking of a woman in one of our congregations who's got a child with complicated medical issues, and she's ended up in a couple of different hospital systems, but they can't communicate with each other electronically, so she's had services duplicated and repeated. There are definitely things that can be improved. Mm.
Well, Stuart Altman, you're the economist here. I mean, I'm curious to hear your response to Danby from Rowley and sort of the economics of a ride in an ambulance. How is it that she gets a bill for $5,000?
Well, first of all, it'd be interesting to take a look at all the patients that that ambulance service treats and find. I suspect that depending on the kind of insurance you have and who's covering you, they're being paid very different rates. And what's the most bizarre, unfortunate aspect of our system is that the people who wind up paying the highest rates are the people who are the most vulnerable. So if you have to pay your own ambulance service, you're getting the full charge. I don't even know what Medicare. I'm willing to wager a little amount of money that if Medicare paid for that service, it would be, I don't know, a quarter or 20% of that. And same thing with a lot of insurance companies. So the ambulance, I mean, I can't comment on the specific pricing system of ambulance services, but I see it all the time, whether it's in a hospital or in stuff like that, where very different rates are being paid by individuals versus what are being paid by insurance.
You know, it occurs to me, again, just to sort of sticking with that example of the $5,000 ambulance ride, beginning October 1st, insurers and medical providers will have to make public the prices they charge, so consumers will be able to actually view price comparisons online. Now, I don't know if that's going to apply to an ambulance ride, and I'm sure if you're going to call an ambulance, you're not going to sort of take time out to sort of look for the one that costs the best. But this idea of putting it, posting it publicly, is that going to help? Let me come to you, Burns, first.
I think it's a piece. I'm here just speaking as somebody whose family has consumed medical care, and we've tried to figure out what something costs and even tried to compare cost in different institutions. It's not an easy thing to do because our system isn't used to making that apparent.
So what's happening in our system, which is fairly new, is that even people that have good insurance now are being asked to have a higher deductible and a copayment. And more people in the Commonwealth, as well as around the country, are buying what we call high deductible health plans, where they might have to pay the first $5,000 or even $10,000. So what they're doing, and we're already seeing evidence of it, is they're anticipating, they're looking around. Where is the best way to get, if I need an MRI or a CT scan, you know, do I need to get it at the hospital or can I go down to the local place that has it? And, you know, unfortunately, there are some people that use the ambulance more than once. And after a while, you begin to say, no, why did I pay that the last time? And maybe look on that sheet and say, wow, I can, if I call ambulance A. Now, it's not easy because if you get really sick, you know, you don't get to call the ambulance. The ambulance comes, the emergency group said it. So is it going to be perfect? Is it going to be great? No. Is it going to be a step forward? Absolutely.
A step forward. And that's where we're going to have to leave it for now. Stuart Altman, chair of the board of the Health Policy Commission. He's also an economist who teaches national health policy at Brandeis University. And Bern Stanfield, president of the Greater Boston Interfaith Organization and pastor at the Fourth Presbyterian Church in South Boston. Thank you both, gentlemen, for coming in very much and continuing this important conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And listeners, stay with us. You can post your comments at radioboston.org. Coming up, researchers says many of the diseases that kill us these days are the result of an evolutionary mismatch. Stick with us. I'm Anthony Brooks with Lisa Mullins. This is Radio Boston.